All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Got a lot of NBA tonight, but coming up on TNT at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, you get Luka Doncic going up against his old team, the Dallas Mavericks. Still bizarre to say. That game happening, of course, in Los Angeles at Crypto.com Arena. Now joining us, NBA on TNT reporter. You could also catch him NBA TV, and that is our pal Jared Greenberg. Jared, always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. How you been?
Great, Zach. How are you, man?
Well, I've been fantastic. So it's been about a month since this Luka deal kind of came out of nowhere and surprised us all. I don't think I've ever been more stunned by a trade, and still, 20-something days later, even though I've seen Luka play games and play well for the Lakers, I still don't feel like it's real, Jared.
Does it stun you that Luka is no longer on the Mavs, or does it stun you that the return that the Mavs got back for Luka? What surprises you the most?
I would say it's the return or the lack of it, and also what I like to say was the ego of Nico Harrison, because I keep on trying to figure out why this happened, and I really do believe that there was some issue with Nico and Luka, and Nico didn't think that Luka fit that team well, and he was out of shape and all that stuff, and to give him away is one thing, but to give him away for that little in return is another.
Well, I'll disagree with you from the standpoint of the return. I think we're making a big deal about this because we are enamored in society today with draft picks and cap space and the sense of hope. I got to be honest, you know, you could say what you want about Anthony Davis, and I am first in line to criticize Anthony Davis for a whole bunch of stuff, but you can't tell me that, you know, 5 first-round picks, you have no idea where those picks are going to land. You have no idea who's going to be in those draft classes as of now is better than a guy like Anthony Davis, who, when on the court, is a top 10 player in the NBA. So for me, you know, for these people who want to go out there and say, oh, he should have gotten 5 first-round picks, that would have been better. No, it wouldn't have. I can understand not wanting to trade Luka. I get that aspect of it. But I will also say this. A deal of that magnitude, a deal like we've never seen before, does not happen without ownership sign-off. And I don't know anything more than has been reported, but I would say this. Let's pump the brakes on Nico Harrison when we're talking about a deal of this magnitude, because there's got to be, whether it's initiated or signed off on, ownership has something to do with a deal like this.
Fair enough. And if Cuban still had the majority share, I think Cuban would have prevented this from happening, right?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Yeah. So here's the other thing, just to respond about what you said, Jared Greenberg. I agree with you. Anthony Davis, and you said it when he's on the court, is a top 10 player in the league. That's where the disconnect is for me. I understand wanting Anthony Davis a part of this deal, but if a big reason why I think they got rid of Luka is they were concerned about his future, right? The weight issue, all right, maybe some of the partying and stuff that goes on. You know, what good is it to trade Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis, who I understand played a full season last year, but already in and out of the lineup for the Mavericks?
Yeah, it's convenient now because he's out of the lineup, and that obviously sucks and does not make the Mavericks look very good. But as you said, recent history has shown us Anthony Davis has played a whole lot of ball games, and with him, at least from a reputation standpoint, there's not this concern about him being in shape or being available. I think, you know, a lot of the issue with Luka is there's a guy here in Luka Doncic, and let this season play out. And I'm not predicting anything. I'm certainly not hoping for anything. But I think the thinking in Dallas is this is a guy with all the other stuff that you mentioned who has injured the same left calf 4 times in 4 years. That is not a coincidence. And I just think it all adds up, and there's probably a lot that we don't know yet, but let this season play out and let's see where it goes. And Dallas may be totally wrong. Like, the Lakers may go on and win a championship this year, right? They win a championship this year. This is the worst thing that's ever happened in Dallas sports. And there's been a lot of bad things that have happened in Dallas sports recently.
Yeah, we just opened up the show talking about the Cowboys. So Jared Greenberg here with us. So what do you think, right? You saw what they're capable of, Luka and LeBron going up against the Nuggets the other night, and that's one of the better teams in the league, a team that won a championship a few years ago with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. Together, Luka and LeBron this year, do you think a championship is realistic?
I don't this year, only because I think, you know, forgetting momentarily about what happened last night to Oklahoma City, which was an anomaly. The Thunder are head and shoulders the best team in the Western Conference. They might be the best team in basketball. And I think that there are six other teams in the Western Conference that have a shot to get to the Western Conference Finals. That includes the Lakers. They are one of the six. But there is a guarantee. There is a lock. If there's anything that I would bet my mortgage on, that I would bet my child's future on, it is that the Oklahoma City Thunder will be one of the two teams in the Western Conference Finals this year. And now we got six other teams with a whole bunch of parity that are fighting to be that second team.
When we also look at the rest of the West, I agree with you. I love OKC. I hope this is the year. And I think everyone looks at SGA and they say he's a top five player in the league. But then there's having moments in the postseason and going on a long run, and it takes you to a different level. I'm curious about a team like Memphis, right? We know all that happened with Ja a few years ago. Then they had the injury when he came back last year. Now they've kind of got back into form. They're 37-20. When you look at Memphis, is Memphis just a nice regular season story? Or can you see them being a big threat come postseason time?
Yeah, they're one of the six other teams that I would put in that category. I feel like all of these teams have massive flaws. None of them have been able to distinguish or separate themselves from the pack at this point, other than Oklahoma City. I think they're more of a nice regular season story. I don't see this, what they're using right now to win in the postseason. I also think that there's more star power on other teams that tend to tip the scales come playoffs. Denver has that. The Lakers certainly have that. The Warriors have that. And the team that I'm really intrigued by, which may not be ready to win at that level yet, but is the Houston Rockets. I think they're a team that potentially could tip the scales a little more than a team like Memphis.
Yeah, you know, you brought up Golden State. It's funny. 3-4 weeks ago, if you would have said to me that Golden State could go on a run and get hot, I'd be like, yeah, I just don't see it. Now they get Jimmy Butler, and it seems like that group got to see the prize once again, and now they're a little bit extra motivated.
It's so crazy because if you just look at the numbers, Andrew Wiggins is having a better season than Jimmy Butler. And you say they play the same position. They're both two-way guys. Andrew Wiggins is providing us more. Well, no, it goes beyond the numbers. You're right. There's a contagious nature of Jimmy Butler. It's rubbing off defensively. You're seeing, and even if it's just optics and even if it's just, you know, the honeymoon phase that they're in, guys are diving for loose balls a little more. There seems to be a little extra effort. And the other part of this here, which is massive, 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 the Warriors over the last couple of years have been among the worst free throw shooting teams in basketball. Not just percentage, but getting to the line. That's with the greatest free throw shooter in the history of the game on their team in Steph Curry. The rest of the team just, and Steph Curry doesn't get to the line that often. He's just really efficient. Now, all of a sudden, they're getting to the free throw line. They're being efficient at the line. So they're getting easier baskets, easier points that was so hard to come by for this team. They were fighting, clawing, and scratching for baskets before this Jimmy Butler era that now life has become a little bit easier, and you could see why they're winning these games.
Jared Greenberg here with us. Hey, get him back to the Lakers-Mavericks game tonight. I think it would have been totally different if it was in Dallas and also if AD was playing. Like, the atmosphere tonight, I get it, right? It's a storyline. Luka going up against his old team. But, like, Lakers fans should be on cloud nine right now. They got a guy to go make another run with LeBron, and also they have what I think is life after LeBron. So I think there's a lot, right, to talk about. But when you get into the atmosphere of that building tonight, I'd be curious what it's going to be.
Yeah, I think tonight it'll be electric. It's always a sense of electricity in that building to begin with the stars and the star power on the court. But you're right, April 9th is the real date where hopefully Anthony Davis is healthy. Hopefully Luka Doncic is still healthy. April 9th, Lakers at Dallas. That's the game to circle, no question. Tonight will be fun. But I agree with you. Listen, and I'm, again, not trying to minimize what the Lakers potentially could do, because I think there is a path for them to get to the West Finals and potentially maybe stun the world and get to the NBA Finals. There is that path this year. But the bigger story, I think what Rob Pelinka needs to be commended on more than anything, is that this team was going to be in hell after LeBron James. They didn't have salary cap space. They've they've given up, they've mortgaged all their future assets to try and build and crumble a roster around LeBron that just didn't make sense. And now you're right. Whether they do or do not win or compete for a championship this year or next year or for however long LeBron is there, they now have life after LeBron, which is a solid foundation that you can build around Luka for the next decade if he resigns. And now that's going to be a huge talking point this summer when he's contract extension eligible. And if he doesn't sign that, it's going to be a massive story leading into next year. But assuming Luka stays, assuming they get a deal done with Luka, the runway after LeBron is the biggest piece of this puzzle.
Yeah, and I'd be very surprised if they're not able to keep Luka. You know, how much do you think, like, let's say they get a deal done with Luka, how much does this extend the career of LeBron James? Because I was kind of thinking maybe this would be the final year or next year at most would be the final year. But now I kind of don't even know how to handicap that.
Yeah, I would not even begin to try and guess on when LeBron is done. You know, what I think, remember when they got Russell Westbrook a couple of years ago? You know, what that the optics of that was, you were going to get a guy who's going to play really hard, is going to play every night, and try and prolong LeBron that particular season, right? So he could save gas in the tank and go full throttle come postseason. That never played out. That never worked because they weren't good enough. LeBron had to give it all in the regular season. I don't know if Luke is that type of player, particularly with all of his injuries and the roster construction currently. Can he take his foot off the gas pedal? We're going to find out here over the next few weeks to see at what level LeBron's able to give it a go once the postseason comes.
And the other part of this story too, because I know we focus so much on Anthony Davis and Luka, and now we just got the LeBron dynamic in, you know, the future of Kyrie Irving. And I know it's not easy to predict Kyrie Irving, but I'll be curious how he navigates it this offseason.
Yeah, there's no question. I think Dallas has a really nice roster, and they've got some really good things going for them. They're just in an unfortunate circumstance right now where they've got so many guys hurt. Like, their whole game plan was to be bigger than everybody and to be more athletic than everybody, and that's just not working right now because their top three big guys, Anthony Davis, Derek Lively, and Daniel Gafford, three sensational bigs, are all out for a period of time here.
I love Kenny Atkinson. He's done a sensational job. It was nice to see him get some national pop this week after just blowing out the Knicks. Are the Cavs just one of those great regular season stories, or can you see them representing the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals this year?
I mean, first of all, I thought the Cavs were going to be really good this year. I think I predicted them to be third or fourth in the Eastern Conference. I never in my wildest dreams thought they would be this good. What I have learned studying this game, the history, is that more times than not, you've got to suffer postseason defeat before you can advance, kind of like what Oklahoma City went through last year. They may have to go through it again this year. It may be a multi-year process for them. I find it hard to believe that Cleveland, if they get matched up in a postseason seven-game series with Boston, that they will have enough with the experience, with the talent, to get past the Celtics. I just think the Celtics are way too good right now. I understand the regular season, the Cavs have a better record. I just think, again, we're going to see Boston coming out of the Eastern Conference.
Let's say the Celtics get picked off. You know, who then would you say gets to the finals out of the East? Is it Milwaukee? Do the Knicks finally be able to beat a good team? Or would it be then the Cavs?
No, I would definitely go the Cavs second. I think the Knicks are a really good team, and if I'm a Knicks fan, I understand the frustration, 0-7 against the top three teams in the NBA. What's surprising me is I understood that the Knicks wouldn't be as good on the interior defensively because they didn't have Mitchell Robinson with the injury, and Karl-Anthony Towns is just not a good defender. But having guys like OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, and Josh Hart, those are three really good defensive pieces. Like, almost any team in basketball would want one, let alone three of those guys on their roster. I thought they'd be a little better. The defense certainly troubles me. If I'm a Knicks fan, though, listen, this team is begging for a championship. I get it. It's been decades upon decades upon decades of misery. I just think this is a building block process. The front office is going to evaluate where they are, hopefully make some moves. Now, they gave up a lot to get what they currently have, so they don't have a lot of wiggle room, but they're going to need to make some tweaks around the edges going into next year when I think they'll be able to start to compete for a championship. I think this year is a step in the right direction, great regular season, but it's going to be next year for the Knicks where I think they'll be a real contender.
Do you think Thibodeau is on the hot seat?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't think Thibs is as well, but I just see that a lot of Knicks fans have been talking about that, obviously, with the weekend and the last week that they just had. Last thing I'll ask you, Jared Greenberg, when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo and Nikola Jokic, right, both have won multiple MVPs, both have won a Finals MVP, both have won an NBA championship, you know, who do you think wins the next championship first? Would you go with Giannis with the Bucks, or would you go with Nikola Jokic with the Nuggets?
I would go Jokic. I think that they have a better roster. I think they have better younger players. And Jamal Murray, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention, he has come alive over the last month. He got off to an incredibly cold start to the season. In fact, he finished the season terribly last year, had a terrible Olympics with Team Canada, and then came into this year and just didn't look right at all. He has been sensational. And Aaron Gordon has been really good the last couple of weeks as well. Listen, Nikola Jokic is a special talent. If you're just a casual basketball fan or you're a hardcore basketball fan, please start being grateful for Nikola Jokic and watching what he can do. Like last night, the minimal amount of points that he scored and the impact he had on the game, 19 assists from a guy who's 6'10", right? Like, that's ridiculous what he can do to carve up a defense. However you want to try and stop him, he will pick the opposite way and beat you to a pulp.
He is Jared Greenberg. Does a great job, NBA on TNT. Catch him all throughout the season. Jared, appreciate the time. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Gelf.